Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
this episode has two hits.
What do you mean two hits?
You playing a hit song and me hitting the floor. All right, this has been a great week, guys.
Yeah, it really has. It almost feels like one long night.
Yeah. Well, it does almost.
Yeah, almost.
I've been drinking all week. What are you guys talking about?
Yeah. I woke up Wednesday morning with Shadow in my sleeping bag. It was kind of weird.
Where is Shadow?
I don't know where he is.
Oh, there he is.
Shadow! Hey! Hey! Hey, Shadow. There he is. Hi, Shadow.
Hey, doggy. All right.
The official mascot of Rocking the Sun.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. No, don't attack the woman with the bad back.
Don't attack anybody.
Stay in the chair.
Calm down, Shadow.
All right, here we go. So, we've been talking not about dogs, but about alcohol.
Yep.
And, hey, doggy. And earlier this week, we talked about whiskeys, and then we had drinking songs from listeners, mm-hmm. and then today we're going to talk about our own picks for drinking songs, right?
Right.
And... you know, the whole history of, like, you know, music and alcohol, it goes way back.
Sure.
Right. Since music was born, right? Don't you think?
I think so, yeah.
Gregorian chants and all that, they were all based on, you know, guys getting really high.
That's right. Yeah, I think when you go back to the history of music, I think music has always been played in saloons and bars where, you know, those things kind of happen. So I think it naturally developed that people who wanted to stay and drink and spend money, you know, would listen to that kind of music.
That's
so
right.
We're really going back to the very roots of music. Right.
Absolutely. 100%. Mm-hmm. So it's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us all this week have been...
Mike Snyder.
Bud Verge.
Rob Gates.
All right. Thank you guys for
coming over. Thank you so much. And so, thank you, Mike, for procuring the whiskey and bringing those. I really appreciate that. And
I feel sorry I made you drink some of them, and I feel happy that you got to drink some of them. And we'll leave which ones.
I
think it's interesting that we all went back to beer after that.
Well, it's kind of interesting about that, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think we're kind of a beer crowd, don't you think?
For the most part, except for Shadow.
Well, we do want to be able to talk and walk.
Yeah, well, there's that, too. So, all right, so let's go around the table here and talk about some of our favorite drinking songs. Who wants to start off?
I'd be happy to start off, Jim. Right. And
then give me a song, and I'll put it up here.
I'll tell you this. Originally, I was going to play a song, and I encourage everyone to look this up. It's a song by Mad Villain, which is a great collaboration, a rap album. And there's a song called One Beer. So if everybody wants like a fun, easy listening experience, look that up. However, that's not the song I want to play. My lovely wife Sheila is here, and she reminded me truly that one of the greatest drinking songs of all time is Elliott Smith's Between the Bars. I don't think we've ever played it on this podcast. So I'd love to play that. It's super sad. You know, probably should be a, you know, a closing song, but I want to start off with it because it's really just an amazing song about just sort of sustaining yourself through alcohol. So.
Drink up, baby, stay up all night with the things you could do. You won't, but you might. The potential you'll be. You'll never see the promises you'll only make. Drink up with me now and forget all about the pressure of days. Do what I say and I'll make you okay. And drive them away, the images stuck in your head. People you've been before that you don't want around anymore, that push and shove and won't bend to your will. I'll keep them still. Drink up, baby, look at the stars, I'll kiss you again. Where I'm
That's a beautiful song.
Yeah, it is. It really is great.
I've never heard it.
You don't know Elliott Smith? Yeah, Elliott Smith. He his stuff is beautiful, and you know, in this particular case, it relates to the topic. But his music, unfortunately, his life was cut short. But his music was really, really moving.
Yeah, really powerfully felt. And you know, drink up with me now and forget all about the pressure of days. Do what I say. I mean, it's really a song about sort of connecting with someone who feels like they need to abandon themselves, you know, in the same way you do. So it's a really beautiful song. It's been covered many times, and I think that's a testament to Elliott's work. And if you look Elliott up, I mean, he's been covered a lot of times by a lot of people. There's tribute albums, at least one or two, to his work. So it's a great song, and thank you, Sheila, for reminding me of how beautiful that song is. We saw Elliott play together a couple times, and, you know, obviously, I think the last time we saw him play was with Granddaddy opening up, and it was pretty clear that Elliott was under the influence of some habits he couldn't control, but it was pretty awesome to see him play. Definitely was a genius, tortured genius. So I don't think people should always think about Elliott Smith either as a totally sad guy. Right. I think you should listen to his music because there's a lot of hopeful stuff. There's a lot of funny stuff in his music, too. So don't just, you know, take the sort of accepted line that he's like a sad artist, you know, who's just a downer, kind of a sad guy who died too early. I think there's a lot more to his music than
that. That's a good point. Yeah. I think you raise a really good point, which is that we now frame him in a certain way because of the tragedy that happened.
That's right.
But think of the music at the time that it was created.
Totally.
Right? Yes.
He wrote a lot of sharp, funny, aware, really interesting stuff. And you know, however it turned out, no one's ever going to know what exactly happened. But, you know, like Jeff Buckley or you know, any of those guys like that had a weird end, don't judge them on that. Judge them on the art they left behind. It was like we were watching the Travel Man podcast, and he was going down a zip line. And what did the lady say? If you die, just remember you left behind a beautiful body of work.
All right.
Okay. But anyway, what do you guys have?
Is that the one with Moss? Yeah, okay. That's a good show. Yeah, all right. Totally. Does anyone have a more upbeat drinking song?
Please. Let's pick it up from here, folks.
Maybe I should take over.
All right.
Thank you, Mike.
Mike?
All right. So one of my favorite bands is ZZ Top.
Yes.
And they have a song called Beer Drinkers and Hellraisers.
That's what I'm talking about.
And it was really funny. I mean, I actually heard this song first by a country cover band that was participating in a local competition in Kansas City that I was covering when I was a young reporter in Independence, Missouri. And they were trying to make it big and win this Marlboro contest and get backing and all this stuff. But, of course, that drove me to older ZZ Top albums, and that's how I found this song.
Cool.
See me walking down the line with my favorite honky tonk in mind. Well, I'll be here around supper time with my can of dinner and a bunch of fine beer drinkers in Hellraiser. Yeah. Baby, don't you wanna come with me? The crowd gets loud when the band.
All right, there you go.
Beer Drinkers and Hellraisers.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can hear that song playing in the background on a jukebox, or you can see ZZ Top playing wherever you might see them. They're touring their 50th year, I think, right now, yep. still. So it's relevant, and it brings a good vibe, I think.
Puts me in West Texas. A lot of beers on tap. It's a hot night. It's sweaty. It's late at night.
Love that.
Works for me.
Yeah.
In early ZZ Top, like just way, way before Eliminator and all that, and we talked about that during 80s Week.
Yeah, totally.
The real ZZ Top.
Yeah, fantastic choice.
All right, so I'm going to go next here.
Okay.
You mentioned jukebox. So I have the jukebox right here in the basement. You guys can all see it. Mm-hmm. And one of the 45s I have on the jukebox is this song right here, which speaks to a little bit of a different dynamic, not an upbeat or a downbeat per se, feeling of drinking, but it's something that maybe happens frequently with the drinking.
Oh, whiskey! Last night we had a date, we stayed out late, I bought round after round. Just for you, I played the fool, yes, I was quite the clown. Words were spoken, hearts were broken, but now I hope you see it was the whiskey talking, not me. I didn't mean to make a scene, it's really not my style. I raised some cane and called some names, I guess I got myself a little wild. If I brag too loud and act too proud, don't blame old Jerry Lee. It was the whiskey talking, not me. I had myself a little splash. I said, you no good piece of trash. Shot my mouth all through the night. But Lord, my bark's bigger than my bite. If lies were told, if I was bold, don't take it personally. It was the whiskey talking, not me. Listen.
It was the whiskey talking, not me, Jerry Lee Lewis.
Right.
Ever been in that situation?
Occasionally, yeah. The judge didn't always believe that, but I did try to use it a couple times in court, and a couple times it worked, a couple times it didn't. And I will say, totally, Jim, the history of country music is totally infused with songs about going wrong with drink. So that's a great choice. Beautiful song, man.
Yeah. Well, dialed back, Jerry Lee Lewis. Usually you hear him on like 11, super fast. Yeah. It's a little bit slower. It was really nice.
Yeah.
It was a little hungover during the recording session.
So you said this is in the jukebox. So is this the A side or the B side?
That's the A side song. Yeah.
Interesting.
That was when Jerry Lee went a little more country later on in his life.
You he know, did? Yep. More,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Later on mm-hmm. in his career. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he could play any style. I mean, he could play country, he could play blues, he could play gospel, he could play straight ahead rock and roll. He could do it all.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Who has the next pick?
I got a pick. There's a couple ways you could go with the drinking song. You could go like super aggro, like we did earlier with Black Flag.
Right.
Or you could find like a sing-along anthem, you know, like a Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba, where everyone's like hoisting their drink in the middle
That's
of the
right,
night.
The whiskey drink and the vodka drink.
Yes, and we're all singing about, you know, doing things and, you know, at night, you know, like pissing or kissing. Depends on how you feel right. the night. I think the wife likes the kissing the night of the way because that's just the way she is. But, you know, that's a good drink as well.
The homeowner probably agrees with the kissing, too.
Yeah, kissing the night away.
All right.
But, you know, the third kind of option is the loser anthem. And the one I kind of go back to is, and this might be a debut on Rock of the Suburbs. I think we've ever played Steely Dan before, have we?
There's certainly been talk about Steely Dan on the podcast.
I think I might be the only Steely Dan pro person here, but
maybe,
I'm going to go.
Maybe because I haven't gone on vacation lately, but.
Maybe. But
I will say I'm very pro.
I'm
going to
go with the loser anthem.
I've seen them live. Right. I'm a big Steely Dan fan.
All right, let's go on.
I'm going with Deacon Blue by the Steely Dan fans out there. Nice. I mean, drink scotch whiskey all day long.
Really good.
Learn to play the saxophone. I mean, there's a name for the winners in the world, but I want a name when I lose.
Drinking music, and I mean, lots of Steely Dan songs would be great drinking music for background. I mean, this one brings the drinking.
Maybe
to the
because
fore.
I'd have to be drinking to listen to it.
Well, that may be your case.
I'm kind of a late night jazzy kind of drinker, so if I can get some jazz and some pop and maybe a little bit of, you know, whiskey or something harder, you know, it's late at night, it's about 2 a.m. You know, maybe I'm not feeling the best. You know, this is a great song.
So,
totally agree with that.
The origin of the chorus, from what I've been able to determine, is Becker and Fagan, Walter Beck and Donald Fagan, were hanging around Wake Forest when they wrote the song. And Wake Forest in football sucked.
Yes.
I the verb tense may be incorrect there, but but yes.
But as Bud and I were talking, the song was written about 40 years ago.
And, 1978, the Asia album.
Right. And Alabama still, although not this year, shame, you know, still dominant in sports landscape as a winner. And the Demon Deacons of Wake Forest, not so much.
Not so much.
Yeah. Not so much.
They didn't win much. Except when they had Tim Duncan. Now, I will tell you this, Jim.
Different sport, but yes, he was great.
Amazing player. This is not the first time Steely Dan has been played on Rock in the Suburbs.
No.
So, I didn't even know this, Bud. Because when you said that, I was like, totally.
Greg, yacht or not.
Yep.
Greg Wilson played.
Yacht or not. Yeah, J.D. Reznor from Beyond Rock, Yacht Rock podcast. You guys, Greg filled in for me on those two episodes. And you guys, you know, is Steely Dan.
Rock.
Yeah, is it Yacht Rock or
it's
is
total,
it not?
It's totally Yacht Rock, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah, I listened to the podcast. I think we came to that conclusion.
Well, give me a captain hat and some Foster Grants and... I'll drape a sweater over my shoulders, and my wife will put on their Halston dress, and we will go out on the yacht for a while.
There you go. Britt Eklund will show up, and Rod Stewart. Yeah,
it'll be fun. A good time.
Well, Bud is our world traveler here, and he's always going off to exotic locales. So I
want to clear that up for the record.
I'll give him that.
Thanks.
All right, Rob, a drinking song.
So I mentioned back on Tuesday, which seems like years ago, that I lived in Oregon for several years.
Yep.
And I was introduced to a band there called 9 Days Wonder, and members of that band went on to the Renegade Saints, and members of that band went on to form a band called Kerosene Dream. Mm-hmm. And they have a song that really puts the whole drinking thing right front and center. And when you play the song, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And I also wanted to pick a song from a band that Patrick had never heard of.
It's like when I can get a beer that Mike's never tried or a band that Patrick's never heard
Stump
of.
Stump the genius.
You're doing something right. Yeah.
When the alcohol hits the blood, ooh, blood washing over in a flood. Ooh, flood with a host of friends you love. You can never get enough. And the angels lie, sad harmony, jealous. That's where they'd rather be, on the coast with curling waves. Said Jesus say, who saves with a penchant for a smile? You walk your last lonely mile, and the angels laugh, sad harmony, jealous. That's where they'd rather be, in the sun, high and like a phoenix that's back from burning pine. You know the way, your sunrise set, where no dream is better.
All right, Kerosene Dream. Yeah, Kerosene Dream, the name of the band. The song is called Phoenix. I just think it's a great song. I think they're a fantastic band.
Right. Love that. Loved it. I loved, you know, the muscularity of the acoustic guitar and also the way they sang it. It's really hard to sort of get a robust sound when you're playing acoustic guitar, and I think they really did that. I need to check out a lot more. What do you know about them, basically, Rob, for our listeners and myself, more selfishly?
So the leader of the band, for lack of a better term, is a guy named Dave Coey.
Okay.
Who's been in several bands in the Pacific Northwest and sort of on the radar of those, why were these bands never signed?
Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
Just great. And they toured around the Northwest, and I saw them several times in several incarnations. There's actually, they have another album this band does called From the Sundown Sky, where there's actually an electric version.
Oh,
of this
really?
Tune, which is a little harder, but I couldn't find the CD. I thought I'd lent it to Jim, but he didn't have it. And Dave is just, I think, one of the greatest singer-songwriters of the time. And I know I've said on the podcast, I've never listened to any music if it wasn't recorded prior to 1990, but these guys are actually in the 90s.
Right.
And just all sort of that same vein of music. Got a great keyboard player named Mike Walker. Him and Dave have been in several bands. Renegade Saints, they're on Spotify. Kerosene Dream, Mexican Gunfight, Dave Coey and the Tremor Guild, and 9 Days Wonder. So if you have listeners out in the Pacific Northwest, they're familiar with these guys, but they've never made it really past beyond.
Yeah.
You know,
kind of
the Northwest,
regional,
yeah.
Yeah, regional act. It happens, but, you know, that's a whole, that could be a whole week, too, is like, what are these regional bands that have, like, you know, sort of been popular around here, but never, you know, really gone any farther, and why?
But I just
really
think
I loved what I heard right there. That was really cool.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
Nice.
Very good. All right. So question for you guys. Should we do another round of drinking songs, or are we good?
Well, we're drinking, so we need another round, of course.
You can't turn your back on a pay you back. I mean, come on.
All right. You guys good with the drinks?
Yeah, I think so.
We're good.
Mm-hmm. I'm not.
Okay, what do you need? Hold on.
One bourbon.
How about this? Scotch.
What do you got?
I got some beer for you.
All right, here you go. Pour me that. What is that?
This Mike, what can you tell us about this beer?
I don't know. I haven't tasted it, but I got it. I got it from a brewery called Belching Beaver.
Yeah, Belching Beaver
in California. Yeah. So it's a hazy
IPA.
Sounds
like my brother-in-law.
All right, so we're gonna do one more round of drinking songs. Mike, you got another song?
Yes.
Oh, sure. I have too many. Let me think. Okay, whenever you want.
All female artists from now on. Oh yes.
All female.
Wait.
All female.
I don't have that, but
I have one though.
All right,
Terry's got one.
Mike does. Terry does. What? Okay. Go ahead.
Hurting the bottle.
Margot Price, Hurting on the Bottle.
Yeah.
Oh.
There you go.
All right, yeah.
Album of the decade.
Go with that. Yeah, let's do it.
Say it again so I can get a clean read.
So I would like to put out for the public consumption, many of us have consumed this before, but it's a great song, Hurting on the Bottle by Margot Price.
Oh, dude, so good.
I put Hurting on the Bottle.
So Margot does a great job of taking classical country artists and bringing it into the modern day. She pays tribute to those that came before her, but makes it palatable for the modern audience. And she had some rough years becoming an artist and being found, you know, and there's other songs on that album which tell about her history and having to deal with, you know, a lot of the bullshit that the record industry provides. But that's just a fun drinking song.
Yes.
Can't add anything more to what Mike said, except for our personal memory of being on a trip to South by Southwest and seeing Margot play at Stubbs and playing the song.
We got to see her just as she was starting to break nationally, amazing. And mm-hmm. It was incredible.
She is the best. She really is great.
And Jim and I were lucky enough to do an interview with Ben Blackwell at Third Man Records, and he said, this could be the one for us, and we knew that was important, so... Great call, Mike.
There's just such a simplicity about this song that makes it very pure. You know, I put a Hurting on the Bottle, been drinking whiskey like it's water. Like there's like something there that everyone can relate to, right?
Well, it's like she found a way to edit herself, probably. I mean, look, I've never written a song, but I can imagine I write it and it's like terrible. And how do you edit it and get straight to the listener's ears? And that's what she did. I mean, it's just so simple.
Yeah,
totally, but it hits. I mean, it works.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
yeah. Now, really quick, as a follow up to that, Jim, could I weigh in with my pick?
Yes.
Kitty Wells, It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels, which I think is a really important song about women, bio-women artists who, you know, just sort of trying to figure out what was going wrong and what the dynamic was in a relationship with a man who was spending a lot of time in a bar.
And
As I sit here tonight, the jukebox playing the tune about the wild side of life. As I listen to the words you are saying, it brings memories when I was a trustful wife. It wasn't God who made honky-tonk angels, as you said in the words of your song. Too many times married men think they're still single. That has caused many a good girl to go wrong.
Yeah, so there it is, Jim. Kitty Wells.
Yes.
Not a song that explicitly mentions drinking, but obviously implies it by absence and the role of a wife and a mother and a lot of things. And very important in the history of country music as well.
Yeah, I think if anybody had, if you haven't watched the country music series from Ken Burns.
Right.
You should, and one of the stories you'll hear is Kitty Wells talking about why she made the song.
Right.
And it's obviously because, you know, them honky-tonk angels are married to somebody, and then they're hanging out with some guy that's married to somebody else.
Exactly, and they're in a bar, and they're drinking, and totally inspired Loretta Lynn and Tammy Wynette and Dolly Parton and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, Kitty Wells, along with Patsy Cline, who died tragically early as well, you know, were kind of those godmothers of female country music artists. So I just want to throw that in there. I mean, obviously, you know, drinking and country music are
yeah.
fairly tied together, Jim.
Yes. Go hand in hand, right?
Yes, they do.
All right. We have a substitute.
I
here,
can't
right?
wait.
We have a pinch hitter.
Pinch hitter. That's this right. is awesome. So, Terry, what do you have for us okay. on the drinking songs?
So, my song is actually by Loretta Lynn.
Okay.
And it's Don't Come Home a-Drinkin' with Lovin' on Your Mind.
Perfect.
And so, I was introduced to Loretta Lynn whenever I first saw Coal Miner's Daughter. So, that was a movie of her life that was made... was it late 70s, early 80s? Mm-hmm. And Sissy Spacek played yep. The title character. And it talked a lot about how her early music really was some of the first country music to speak from a woman's voice. And she talked about birth control when that was like a, you know, a thing.
Totally. Here in Topeka.
The yep. rain is a-falling, yeah.
Yep.
So this song is about a guy who goes out, gets drunk and wants to come home and have some fun, and she's like, hell no. So I love this song.
Thanks.
No personal reference at all.
Well, you thought I'd be waiting up when you came home last night. You'd been out with all the boys and you ended up half tied. But liquor and love, they just don't mix, leave the bottle or me behind. And don't come home a-drinkin' with lovin' on your mind. No, don't come home a-drinkin' with lovin' on your mind. Just stay out there on the town and see what you can find. Cause if you want that kind of love, well, you don't need none of mine.
Excellent pick.
It's a great pick.
Oh, it's a fantastic pick.
I guess I'm getting no loving tonight. Night's still early.
You're not fantastic. Going home yet.
Yeah.
So totally. Going home is part of the song. So.
And totally connected all the threads we were talking about. But, really great.
What year was that song?
That's going to be the 70s.
67.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, that's a pretty progressive song for that era, totally, don't you think?
Totally. And like Loretta Lynn's stuff, as you know, Terry mentioned, she was going into subjects that were taboo, and
right.
Was often, you know, shot down by a male-owned industry in Nashville. So, again, another song that probably people didn't want to hear, but she put it out. So that's a fantastic pick. Really good.
Excellent. All right. Rob, you up?
I am up. So we've gone with the female theme here, but I'm going to go with a song originally sung by females.
Okay.
But I doubt we can find that version.
Okay.
But people probably know it more from the version that was sung by The Doors.
All right.
Okay.
And this would be the official title of the song is the Alabama Song.
Ooh.
But I think once you play the song, people will know it by its more common name.
Totally.
Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Die. I tell you we must die. I tell you, I tell you, I tell you we must die. Oh, moon of Alabama, now must say
so, first recorded in 1927.
Yep.
And I won't read the there's quite an entry on it on in Wikipedia on the origin of the song, but yes, as it was a vaudeville song, it was part of a show that was put on. It was covered later by The Doors, obviously, which we just heard. It was also covered by David Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It's just a great drinking song.
Yeah, it really is.
All right.
Yeah. Kind of taking us full circle too, Jim, because between the bars and to show me to the next whiskey bar. So that's kind of where we started, which is really nice. And, you know, I think, Rob, what would you say about that song? I mean, it certainly has a feeling of being an ancient song, like an old song, like when that song is put together on the rest of the Doors first album, it doesn't necessarily feel like, you know, a Jim Morrison original, like a Venice Beach, you know, kind of visionary song, but it definitely has something that they related to. So they gravitated to that and put it in their set.
Yeah, Morrison wanted to do the song, obviously, and there's some very interesting live versions.
Yeah.
Of it, but you know, sort of they were experimenting a little bit. I think people forget that The Doors were really a great experimental band.
Totally.
And they came up with a lot of their sound is very unique.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jim, but also, you know, Ray Manzarek and Dinsmore and Krieger, you know, all sort of exploring out, you know, where they could. I often wonder where The Doors would have gone, you know, if Jim had, you know, stayed alive.
Right.
Because they were all extremely talented musicians.
You know, it's a really interesting thought too, Jim, and maybe another podcast for next week or the week beyond next week or maybe 2020 or 2025. But just saying that, you know, what about those first cover versions that bands played that kind of made their signature sound, right?
Yeah.
You can always
these are kind of songs that they grew up listening to.
Exactly.
I mean, the Doors were all born in the early 40s. They're probably, their parents were listening to the oompah music,
right?
Or some polkas or some different things. So when it came time to play music, that was the stuff they drew upon, and then that was the polka or the show tunes or something. That was something that was very easily known to them, and thus, you know, the whiskey song. Let's just, you know, throw that off and see how it sounds.
Beautiful.
All right, you guys have led perfectly into my closing track.
Sweet, Jim. What is it?
It's a player piano song.
It is.
No, get out of here. Sorry, I didn't mean to steal your thunder. Edit that out.
It is. It is. So here's my story. When I was a kid, my parents bought a player piano, and we used to sit around the player piano, and the my father mostly would like play the songs on the piano rolls, and he would play all these old, like, they were like show tunes and old songs, standards, things like that. Mm-hmm. And one of the songs he would play, and we would all like kind of sing along, which is kind of creepy when you think about this song right here, kind of weird and bizarre, right? But one of the songs we used to sing was this song called Drink, 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 which was from a 1924 operetta called The Student Prince. And let me just play this and then we'll discuss.
Drink your beer, drink, drink, drink. Two eyes that are bright as stars when they're shining on me. Drink, drink, drink. Two lips that are red and sweet as the fruit on the tree. Here's a hope that those bright eyes will shine lovingly, longingly soon into mine. May those lips that are red and sweet.
All right, there you go. Let's drink.
Wow, Jim. Have you ever done Finding Your Roots?
Seriously.
Do we have the original German of that?
I don't know. But I have the original piano roll upstairs player piano, which
amazing.
I now have in my home.
Totally amazing.
Tune in for Rocking the Suburbs, the expanded edition, weekend edition.
It's for the Patreon.
We're all going to sing along. Drink, drink, drink.
That's right. Definitely ready to drink, drink, drink. It's been a week, but it feels like it's been a long night. So,
all right, so should we go on and drink?
Sure.
Beyond podcast, right?
That's right.
Let the real drinking commence.
That's right.
I have a playout song for you.
All right, what do you got?
Have a Drink on Me by AC/DC.
Oh, that's good.
That should be a good palate cleanser at this point.
Totally, man. That's a great call.
We didn't really do any hard rock, so.
Yeah.
Well, we've got to give an honorable mention to One Bourbon, One Scotch, One Beer.
But yeah, we all thought about that song.
And we did.
We probably didn't choose it because we thought someone else would choose it. And there's at least two good versions we love.
Yeah, totally.
Yes. So,
And you got to talk about, when you're talking about drinking songs, Wingtip Float's Unique Scenic Drive. It's definitely a classic drinking song a lot of people know.
Shameless plug.
A lot of people.
I think most people know about
it. All right. If anyone would like to suggest more drinking songs, we'll do this again.
We've done this
several times.
Because we like to drink.
Yeah, we just drink and forget it, right? We forget it and then we do it again.
So
we did a podcast last week. We didn't remember what song we played.
No, we absolutely do not. So call 612-440-1984. There you go.
There it is.
Or email rock@suburbspod.com or Hit us up on social medias.
Sure.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those.
Yep.
Suburbs Pod. Or if you want to get the mixtape, we haven't talked about this, and we
haven't talked about it this week, Jim. But want to
get the
important
2020 mixtape?
That's right.
You should
Yell your favorite song out the window.
Yell your favorite song or album out the window, or call 612-440-1984. Yes, and tell us about your favorite song or album of 2019, and we'll send you a free Rock in the Suburbs mixtape.
That's right. Actual cassette. It's on a cassette, folks. 90 minutes on each side, or 90 minutes total, 45 on each side. And I'll tell you this, some of those tapes that they have now are really long, so they can go a long way. And I will tell you this, it's going to be some of the favorites from 2019 from Jim and me, and yeah. I think you guys are going to appreciate it.
All right. Is that on a Maxell XL2?
Yeah, yes, it will.
Oh, Dolby Metal as well?
Dolby Metal. Yeah. We will punch out the tabs, though.
So we can't tape over it.
No, can't tape over it. Right. Unless you take Scotch tape and
tape over the holes. Yeah.
Unless you take a common household item.
High security.
Yeah, because that's such a security thing when you punch out the tabs. Oh, I can't record over this anymore. Yeah, I'm done. Yeah, so we will do that. We'll take that precaution for you guys, package it up in an original program, and send it to you. All you have to do is call us on the Suburban Party Line.
Yeah, all right. Let's get out of here. Yeah, it's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lanier.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I'm Mike Schneider.
I'm Bud Verge.
Rob Gates.
Thank you guys so much.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you,
Mike. So appreciate
it. It's been real.
Have a drink on us.
Is there more of that Dylan whiskey?
Just what I need. I drink Scotch whiskey all night long. And die behind the wheel.
That's got a name right there.
For the winners in the world. I want a name when I lose. They call Alabama the Crimson Tide.
This sounds like some bad dates I was in college.
Oh, boy.
Well, better pour everybody a double after that.
All right.